You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has
this
no
call
enemies.
May be recorded.
Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend where you'll get a chance to do all the things you should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, yeah, exactly, you're going to do it. And you know, if ands or buts about it, it'll get done. No procrastination. Exactly. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and there will be the drop-down, and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs dated and titled. But whatever search engine you have, you know, Google, whatever search engine you have, you can just put it in the search, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Yep. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, on Monday evening from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And also, after that program, is from 9 to 10. Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. The Black Farmers Report is on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. And then on Saturdays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get the largest online marketplace on the internet for American African owned businesses is webuyblack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses from webuyblack.com. I'm gonna try my best to do a little bit better job of see if I can get somebody from WeBuyBlack.com on to talk about what's happening with WeBuyBlack, where they are, and where they are in terms of the supermarket for the Atlanta area and other areas of the major cities where we are, because that's what it should be about. We should have a store like that in Dallas and New Orleans and wherever, Philadelphia, Chicago, Milwaukee, whatever, where there's a sizable population of us and there's American African farmers so they can have an outlet for their produce and other stuff. I mean, you know, this is what we have to do, and it should have been done. It should have been done. Yeah. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayemba, who was my guest this past Wednesday, and I hope you got a lot out of it. And I hope that you will go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and check it out for yourself. Everything you need is on the website, that so you can have a trip of a lifetime. Everything you need. The upcoming tours is May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. Then November 17th to the 28th to Tanzania. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2023. Now, that is going to be $4,000. All the other trips are $3,800. And even the Senegal and Gambia, March 31st to April 10th. That's going to be $3,800, the previous price. But also, too, you can talk, you can get information on land that's for sale, investments, and the Black Star Repatriation and Pan-African Community that is being established in Ghana. So check out Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bamani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bamani2007. But if you need to talk to Brother Bamani, and he's accessible, and here's his number, 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. That's right. These brothers and sisters have been doing the work. I think I've seen a piece that says 20 years. It's beautiful. Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. All of it happening. The Kashi Project. The Kashi International Launch is October 18th through the 17th in Ghana. October 8th through the 17th in Ghana this year. You know, you can just go to habashahincorporated.org/Kashi Project/Kashi, K-A-S-I. Yeah, it's happening. And you can help support that effort, brothers and sisters. HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Most bottom line thing we need is to be educated. The LEDS Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDS Group, brothers and sisters, the LEDS Group deals in the four areas of human existence. Four, food, gotta have food. Water, you got to have water. You can go without food for some time, but you can't go without water, clean water. Clothing, and of course, shelter. Those four areas of human existence, the LEDS Project is working on. And they have 12 projects going on in six different countries on the continent. And they have employed over 170 people. And they have over 260 members. Why don't you become a member of the LEDS Group? And in fact, if you do become a member, you can buy land in Tanzania. That's right. You can buy land in Tanzania. Abibia Tumi. Abibiatumi.com, Abibiatumi.com, brothers and sisters. Go check out Abibiatumi.com. I love Abibiatumi.com. Go check out the website, Abibiatumi.com. Make it a favorite. Make it a website that you always go to in terms of information. Remember, they have classes on various things and presentations, and of course you can learn an African language, Akan, Tree, Medu Nature. You can learn the Medu Nature, Kiswahili. Yes, it's right there. Smai Pharmacy, S-M-A-I, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. Smai Pharmacy, brothers and sisters. Check out
Brother Jabril, give him a call at 731-327-6229, 731-327-6229, or you can email him at SMI Pharmacy, SMI, SMAIFARMACY at gmail.com, SMI Pharmacy at gmail.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. If you're in the Atlanta area, just go to the West End. I'm Ralph Dibbitt Abernathy, near the West End Mall and Afrocentrics and all the good stuff on the West End. That's where Wadada's is, Healthy Market and Juice Bar. It's right across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. It's all in that area. And, of course, check out the delicious smoothies and fruit drinks that they have. Tomorrow and Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, you can purchase vegan food. Yes, they have pastries and wraps and soups. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Meadow Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check out Mama Nia. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and all kind of good stuff. So give Mama Nia a call. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Gazimde Ajamu. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the black dot. And Afroletics, they have a store in the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market is located right off of Turner Hill Road, off I-20. If you're in Atlanta, it would be east of Atlanta going towards Lithonia. And that's where the black dot is. And you go further east than that, the next exit, literally. And you make a right, and then two lights make a right. And on the left will be the Black Wall Street Market, the new Black Wall Street Market. And not only do they have athletics there, they have a store there. My good brother, Sajifo, who is a outstanding jeweler and art collector, he has an art store and as well selling his jewelry, and he sold jewelry to some of the celebrities and so forth. It's excellent. And also, too, my good friend, Brother Mike McGee Jr. has a CBD store. Yep. So check it out, the new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics, our Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m., from 9 to 10 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. If you want to call to listen, or if you have questions, comments, or concerns, you dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Let me give a shout out to my good brother, Yusuf Muhammad, on Fridays. His program is on Fridays. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And that's from 4 to 6, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., also on Blog Talk Radio. You can give him a call at 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. If you are in the Macon, Georgia area, give my good brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. They're located 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. The Homeland Village and Gift Shop. He's got all kinds of stuff in there. Sun God Essence. Sun God Essence, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, contact Sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essence, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Aidi, Sister Gabrielle Rilliab is doing great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, up there in the mountain areas. And, of course, she relies on the goodness and generosity of those brothers and sisters who can do it, who can give. So go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Baba Baruti and Mama Yah at Akabin House. Akabin House is the where you can buy the books, and I'll say that in a minute. But Akabin Institute, they need your support. If you can write a check or money order out to Akabin Institute and send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And, of course, you can go to PayPal and Cash App. Cash App, $Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your constant donations. And, of course, Akabin Institute, Akabin House is where you can buy the books, the great books that Baba Baruti and has been writing, which we're going to read right now, the Enye Sesim, the Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to read four of them today. I usually read three on Friday. But I just got to do it because one of them is just, they're all so pointed, you know. They hit hard. I love the Enye Sesim. And like I said, sometimes when I have a topic, well, today there's this open mic today. So I'm just going to throw stuff out there and hopefully you will want to respond or a topic of your own or whatever is on your mind. February 17th, how can you claim that you want to be free when the one thing you'll be when you're free is the one thing you don't want to be? An African. Professor James Small. Africans trying to help concoct a new world wherein they can finally feel human without being African. Do so pretending that this current reality is not dominated by or wholly rooted in European imperatives. These Africans are claiming that they're even breaking away from the very idea of tradition. They're claiming to have no tradition except those which they now function for themselves and are manufactured for themselves. This expresses a deeply schizophrenic ignorance of what tradition is. And it's laughable because no individual functions without a tradition. No group of individuals can start a society from nothing because someone taught them how to think and live. And in that teaching, the tradition of the instructor is thereby transferred. This should be obvious because societies are not started by newborns. And socialization, which is no more or less than a life's instructions in the tradition which evolved out of the cultural way of that people, begins at first contact with physical reality. No matter how we look at it, because we know that every people follow a tradition, those confused Africans want to pretend that they do not follow the European tradition as they currently do and certainly do. In and of themselves, every people is a tradition. No people is separable from their tradition unless they are no longer that people. Affirm, I am African. Affirm, I am African. February 18th. You cannot orchestrate survival, first law of intelligence, while you're engaged in acts of suicide or menticide. K. Kepra Kara Kamal. For warriors, power should be defined as the ability to create a reality which is fundamentally and irrevocably African in spirit and action, and therefore actively removes enemies. Power is the ability to define reality. It ain't money. It ain't politics. It ain't voting. It ain't information or education. Power is the ability to define reality and to shape that reality in your image and interest. This should be more than some theoretically abstract, ideological, nebulous quality of these dedicated servants of the people. And power definitely should not be subject to every weakening qualification, which are disempowering, ahistorical, and whitewashed by derationalized sub-assimilationists, escapist fantasies, qualifications which turn power into something which requires neither action nor even evidence to claim. Only compromised, treasonous minds are unable to comprehend that in order to be powerful, power must be exercised. Minds in denial of this connection believe that they have lost all wars against them and therefore define their powerlessness. To hide their self-sustaining inferiority, they will naturally act as if it pretense is real. They naturally fabricate and engage in ongoing, easy, unrighteous, irrelevant games to distract themselves and their followers from the abundance of evidence of their powerlessness. The bulk of their energies would go toward assisting our enemies through contributing to our chaos, misdirection, and weakening of the true, logical, timeless, undebatable definition of power as an uncompromised exercise to that of mere pretense. In fact, to nothing more than a joke relative to actions of those who continue to do the real work of destroying us. Affirm, I am not suicidal. Ashe. Affirm, I am not suicidal. February 19th. We should allow no one to turn our heads. If we continually try to shape our identity in the forms of others, we surely will not find our destiny. Man's destiny is the reflection of himself. We must be about the task of fortifying our ancient beliefs and traditional customs. It is only through this effort that strength is given. Not a ding Zulu. Not a ding Zulu. Pure and simple, our destiny is to be African. Let me repeat. Pure and simple, our destiny is to be African. Our calling as the original civilizing human beings who are charged by divinity to bring and maintain righteous order on this planet is the return to who we naturally are as a direct, dynamic reflection of that divinity. And it is our obligation and duty as a people of power to forever act on that naturalness without compromise. It is our obligation and duty as a people of power to do so without fear of violation from others. It is our obligation and duty as a people of power to pursue this objective without apprehension about whatever aliens may think about it or us. None of our empowering undertaking can succeed without us actually empowering none of our empowering undertaking can succeed without us actually doing the work of fortifying our ancient beliefs and traditional customs. For us, those should be no other path. For we are here to imitate no one. Knowing this, no one should ever again be able to turn our heads from this divinely sanctioned destiny. Given that we remain at war for our survival and sanity against a determined, well-experienced, evasive species, we know that this process will neither be easy nor unprotected. Given the histories more than ample, given histories more than ample evidence that our enemies cannot tolerate us not being tethered to their oppression, exploitation, and lies, we know that nothing lies than absolute sovereignty can make our true destiny as an African a possibility. Absolute sovereignty can make our true destiny as Africans a possibility. Nothing but yes, drive it home, Brother Oshie. Affirm, I am a student engaged in reflection of my ancestors. Affirm, I am a student engaged in the reflection of my ancestors. So, I think I got another one to read. Another Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. And I do. Same date. February 19th. What's eating you? Dr. Layla, Africa. For warriors in terms of health, performance, endurance, vision, and life, it always comes down to the question, what are you eating? Which is the flip side of the question, what's eating you? A body cannot operate efficiently carrying dead weight. This applies to individuals as well as an army, a people, or any other organism. Dead weight inhibits performance by draining energy to attend to this destructive or distractive dysfunctional needs that otherwise could be put to better use by the unencumbered body. It restricts warriors physically, mentally, and spiritually. Agility requires exercise and strength beyond the average. Thought, clouded by layers of saturated doubt, can never express your best. And you cannot open your first eye to divinity, bogged down with waste. Warriors especially cannot afford to carry dead weight or any other toxicity in their temples. We must be highly mobile, always ready and prepared to move, always moving, never in a stupor or high on chemicals, illegal or otherwise, that paralyze our actions and reactions. What we ingest should be the medicine food was meant to be, as the multi-genius Imhotep taught us. Let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. We must always be clear and clean, holistically fine-tuned for building and battle. Affirm, I am healthy. Affirm, I am healthy. And if you're not, let's get healthy. Ashe. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, brothers and sisters, I'm going to play a few things, and you know, anything you want to talk about, you know, I'm going to play that piece I played the other day dealing with the richness of Africa, and I'm going to play something that we haven't heard in quite a while. We haven't heard this in quite a while, and I know that, you know, but first I'm going to play what the piece we haven't heard in quite a while. The piece that comes from the Pan-African Federalist Movement of why we need to come back to Africa. You know, that's what we must do. We must come home. We must, and we can prepare ourselves here through an educational process or a networking process or whatever the case may be. And then, of course, to be able to move from this madness to a situation where, yes, it is not utopia. And it's going to take some work and some sacrifice by us to get it, to work with brothers and sisters there. But it has to be done. Because everybody else wants our land. Everybody else. I'm going to give you once again the 10 countries, the 10 richest countries, but this is the reason why that we must do this. This is the reason why. Yeah.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow an Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
The time is right now. The time is at this very moment. It's not tomorrow, it's today. The time is of importance. It's immediate, you know, and that's what bothers me. It's like we think we got all this. No, we don't. No, we don't, brothers and sisters. We don't have time, you know. We don't have time. And so we have to make and just, okay. Yeah, here's another piece I'm going to play for you. Here we go.
In today's video, we present the top 10 richest African countries based on natural resources. Number 10, Botswana. This South African country is rich in diamonds, copper, coal, soda ash, and nickel. Number 9, Ghana. This West African country is rich in gold, bauxite, diamonds, manganese, crude oil, silver, and salts. Number 8, Tanzania. This Eastern African country is rich in tanzanite, gold, diamonds, gems, and silver. Number 7, Guinea. This West African country is rich in bauxite, alumina, diamonds, and gold. Number 6, Mozambique. This southeastern country is rich in aluminium, natural gas, crude oil, copper, gold, rubies, graphite, titanium, marbles, bauxite, and many more. Number 5, South Africa. This southern African country is rich in gold, diamonds, iron ore, platinum, manganese, chromium, uranium, silver, beryllium, and titanium. Number 4, Zambia. This southern African country is rich in uranium, silver, cobalt, copper, coal, lead, zinc, and gold. Number 3, Namibia. This southern African country is rich in uranium, diamonds, zinc, lead, sulfur, salts, tantalite, and copper. Number 2, Niger. This West African country is rich in uranium, coal, cement, gold, iron ore, tin, phosphates, petroleum, salts, gypsum, and many more. And the number one spot for the richest African country based on natural resources is number 1, Democratic Republic of Congo. This Central African country is actually the richest country in the world and is almost single-handedly powering the global tech industry. With all the valuable resources that are found in the country, the Democratic Republic of Congo is rich in abundance of copper, cobalt, zinc, diamonds, oil, coltan, gold, lithium, bauxite, natural gas, tin, and many more. Did you enjoy our video? What do you think of our list of the top 10 richest African countries based on natural resources? Do leave your comments below, and if there's any video you'd like us to do, please leave your suggestions as well. I have been your presenter of the day, Kiri, and you can find me on Instagram at kiri.han or on YouTube at kiri.han voice talent. Thank you so much for watching. Remember to subscribe and ring the notification bell so that you don't miss any of our African videos. And remember, Africa is watching.
And we are watching Africa. That's right. Africa is ours. We are watching Africa about what's going on with the Chinese, with the Arabs, with the Indians, and of course the Europeans. We are watching. You know, what I just played for you, and what I do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, is just, I was going to say big. It literally is. Trying to get us to understand the direction that we as African people must go. But we're in this madness. We're in an environment and in a world that is dominated by Europeans, that is dominated by Caucasians. We are so damn bamboozled and fooled that we argue against the history of our people so we don't hurt little white children. So we rather continue with the lies that they want to tell. Continue with the lies so we don't talk about the real history and what they have done, how they usurped, how they manipulated, how they undermined our history, our culture, our traditions. When I read the Inye Sesim earlier, it talked about how we must take those traditions and culture and embrace them and exemplify them. That the main thing that we must be is who we are, and that is African. And that's some of the main, just as Professor Small said, the main thing we don't want to be. You hear all the time, there's people, oh, I ain't African. I love that piece where Malcolm said, you know, talking about we ain't African. I ain't left nothing in Africa. No, you left your mind in Africa. And then as Africa is presented to us from many years to this present, still a poor, begging country. And you just heard that how much mineral wealth, more than any country on the planet, more than any country on this planet, Africa. How could it be? Well, maybe it was the idea that for those who believe that there was, and I do, there was one land mass they call Pangaea. And you see the breakaway. And you can look at the map today and see where these things could possibly fit in by moving these continent, except Europe. Europe's not a continent. And that's just a fact of how arrogant Europeans are. That's how arrogant these son of a bitches are to say, we're a continent. No, you're not. By anybody's definition, you're not a continent. By anybody's definition. So let me get this call. 602-602. Good morning.
It's spread out, Wushi.
Hey, Brother Marcus. Yes.
How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for all that you send me on WhatsApp. I really appreciate you, brother. I really do.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
You know, you talk about the wealth in Africa. So, you know, if you're trying to Africa has the most gold on the planet. Africa.
Yes.
But you know what these people do? If you're trying to get gold out of Africa, they tell you, no, we don't want the gold coming out of Africa. Meaning these refineries here, these gold refineries here, you know, in the US, they say, no, we don't want no gold coming out of Africa. But where the damn gold, where is the gold at?
In Africa.
It's in Africa.
It's in Africa.
Not in Europe.
Right. Right.
You see? But that's the way they block. They yes. block you. See? They said, oh, no, no. Once they hear it's coming out of Africa, no. We don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They say, oh, we don't want nothing coming out of Latin America and Africa.
Right.
So I said, but, you know, I'm like, but it's all about control.
Oh, no doubt.
Say.
It's all about the control. Yeah. They dominate and control yeah. the planet. They dictate, yeah. so, you know?
They dictate. You see? So they'll accept it from Europe. They'll accept it from Belgium mm-hmm. or whatever. But they ain't got no damn gold in Belgium. They ain't got no. So it's coming out of Africa the same way, but it's coming via Europe. You see? So they'll ship it out of Africa, ship it to Europe, and then they'll take it from Europe. Yeah, you could bring it in. You
right.
know, it's just total BS. You know, they can't. That's why I agree with you here, Brother Oshi. Chase everybody. Get the hell out.
Yeah.
Get up. Get out. Because y'all just sucking our blood.
Right.
Y'all parasiting off of us.
And it's the only see? Place... Only place on the planet, Brother Marcus, that we can make that claim. Africans in the diaspora, Africans on the continent coming together, unifying, saying to everybody, get your ass out. Go yeah. back to where yeah. you came from. Just like these crackers always got talking about us, go back to where you came from. Hell, y'all go yeah. back to where you came from. Go back to that icebox. Go back to Europe.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Yes.
I agree. And as you said, they don't share Europe with nobody.
No.
They don't share Europe with, but we supposed to share Africa with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then some of our people, yes, oh yes, you know, we let everybody in our house. You know? It's like the other day I was talking to some young brothers and they said, well, brother, how do we solve this problem? You know, we have all these, because he was trying to tell me that you have white Africans. You know, I said, no.
No, there ain't no damn white Africans. I don't give a damn how long they've been there. They could have been there 1,000 days. There are no white Africans. There are only Africans, indigenous Africans. Yeah, they could have been born there. But just as Malcolm said, just because a cat has kittens in the oven, don't make them biscuits. Just because these crackers was born in Africa, they're not Africans.
Yes, and he couldn't understand that concept. He was like, well, brother, they've been here a long time. I said, no, they are not Africans. They are Europeans that live in Africa. You see, they are Europeans. So he said, well, how are we going to solve this problem? I said, well, the way you solve the problem is if you have a problem in your house and you have other people living in your house that's creating a problem, you got to put those people out of your house, okay? You
clear and simple.
Put them out. And, yes.
Yes.
And we talk shop amongst ourselves, you know, and to solve our problem in the house. So mm-hmm. I'm saying, no, I ain't saying you ain't going to open back the door for them to come in, but we got to talk shop amongst ourselves first.
So right.
You can't talk shop with them in because these people are the people that's creating the problem.
They're creating the problem. I
yeah.
say.
Then he understood what I was saying. But I just said, Brother Oshi, it's going to be a fight. But, you know, it's going to be a fight that's worth fighting for.
Yes, it is, my brother. Yes, it is, Brother Marcus. And we must fight. We must prepare ourselves to fight. If we're going to be a people in the future of the world, we have to fight. Because these people who have been a small, quote, minority, if you want to use that word, from for eons, But yet they present themselves as being the dominant people on the planet. And because one thing that we must admit, they will kill your ass.
I'm telling you.
They will kill you. And they have found better ways to kill you.
I'm telling you, brother.
You know? And so, therefore, we must get out from under these people. We must. And for those that want to stay, if you have been so afflicted with the Yorugu virus, so Europeanized, you're Negro-pian, whatever the hell, you stay. Yes. You can go as you stay. But otherwise, we have to go back home and get them out, and we must manage the continent and its resources.
Yes,
it is all. It is plain as that. It is. Thank you so much, Brother Marcus.
Yes, brother. Keep on keeping on, Brother Oshie.
Thank you, dear brother. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend, Brother Marcus.
All right, you too.
All right. Brothers and sisters, if you're on, just hang on. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more discussion. This is Open Mic. This is your show. Your show. Your show Friday. And whatever you want to talk about, whatever is happening, you know, this is still, as I say, African and American African History Month. Maybe I'll explain that again, because this ain't Black History Month. This is African and American African History Month, the history of African people. A lot of times, many of our people, brothers and sisters, as sad and pathetic as it is, begin our history with our captivity, as if we were running around the jungle, never having done a damn thing, never having created anything of any significance. In fact, I'm going to play something that's, I'm going to play that when we get back. This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Tanga, tanga, umbu sa tanga. esa macosa. Ni caso.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Brother Dubenga. He made his transition last year. Manu Dubenga, Soul Makusa. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And other programs we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal Kamban, Dr. Mawia Kamban, and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10 on Mondays, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 p.m. to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. On Saturdays at 7 p.m., from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. Whatever you want to talk about, dear brothers and sisters, give us a call at 215-490-9832. If we have a number of people who are already on, if you want to have something to say or comment, hit star twice, and I'll get you in. I'm going to play this. This will stir up some conversation because, you know, one of the things, you know, that as we were talking along with Brother Marcus, and of course Brother Marcus is from the Caribbean, who understands that we are Africans, you know, just like a number of Caribbean brothers and sisters, whether they're from Jamaica, Barbados, Cuba, wherever, you know, Bahamas, most of them don't understand it. Now, and I'm using the correct term. Most of them really don't. They feel that those ties have been severed by them being transferred or them being put into a situation and brought to this hemisphere, that that's over. Sadly, because they've been brainwashed into thinking that. They've been whitewashed into thinking that. They've been Caucasianized into thinking that. And they ain't running shit either. They ain't running nothing where they is. Nothing. There are more of us in Brazil than any country except Nigeria, and we ain't running nothing there. And everywhere, because of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy, the issue of being melanated is a curse. The issue of you having melanation in your skin, darker your skin, you are shunned. When you look at a magazine or something being depicted from various countries, even in Southeast Asia, they look closer to Caucasian than they do the natural people who are melanated. Perception could be that there are more Caucasian people on the planet than any damn thing. Bleaching creams. Billions of dollars we spend on bleaching our skin. It was a sad, pathetic to see all those Nigerians with their skin bleached, particularly the women. And yet, you know, these people have appropriated and stolen. They ain't nothing but a bunch of damn thieves. They ain't nothing but a bunch of damn thieves. Let me play this. This is Dr. Robinson. And he's talking about the DNA, a hidden DNA discovery. And it's only found into us. And because we are the first people, we are the first people. We're the first people on the planet. Human life began in Central East Africa and migrate from that point. And what makes human beings different is the ability to adapt to environments where we migrated to. We migrated to. We adapted. Because if you don't adapt, you die. And so that's why there are more of the important components of DNA found in us than in anybody else. You know, but yet, let us listen, Dr. Robinson.
Here's a copy of the front piece with all, and a copy of the back piece with all the references where you can find it.
Oh, that is excellent.
So I mean, you can take that with you.
Yes.
Yeah, because the inside is what was copyrighted.
Dr. Robinson.
Yeah.
Why do you think the research was done?
Was it to determine the intellectual difference?
They thought it was going to come out differently. Yeah.
Oh.
That's why they copyrighted. You ain't heard nothing about it, have you?
No. That's why you have it.
They
didn't publish it.
No, they ain't going to publish it.
Oh, so they copyrighted it to keep it from being
Now you got it. Well, of course.
Welcome back. Now, there are things that an average African or a black person is never taught in school. One is their history, and second is any science that touches on their history. Now, to understand what it is I'm trying to say, take a look at this video and see if any of these things you hear, you ever had in school.
To go into something that he came upon, which has set the scientific world of white geneticists into a fit. Dr. Robson, like you to talk about the DNA series.
Yes. A few years ago, my brother and I read a book called The Mark of Oppression. And these two publishers, Cardiner and Oversea, said that they could not understand how is it that a group of people, African Americans, have been bludgeoned over their heads mentally and spiritually for hundreds of years and are still surviving. They couldn't understand it. And they said so in their book. The answer came out in 1996. Why it is that not only have African Americans survived the worst mental and spiritual bludgeoning of any people in recorded history, but they are becoming champions of everything in which there is a level playing field. No matter what it is, we predominate in every field. This is why they won't teach our children African history, because they know that once our children get on the same level playing field as their white counterparts, that they will dominate just like we dominate in basketball, baseball, football, track and field, and anything else in which there is a level playing field. So while they teach their children about the greatness of their European ancestors, they won't teach our children about the greatness of their African ancestors, because then that would be a level playing field in academia. And they know that we will predominate, just like all of these examples we've given them, that our children predominate when they know who they are from the African historical point of view. Now, here's what I found out in 1996. A group of geneticists wrote this book. Geneticists.
Can you identify where they're from and
the group,
how it came about?
Yeah, okay. All right, sure. Yes, indeed. An organization is called the American Association for the Advancement of Science. The American Association for the Advancement of Science. Now, this organization is composed of people who study about DNA and the genome. And you've been reading about the DNA and the genomes. Well, this group of scientists came upon an idea by accident at first, that different groups of people had different numbers of DNA series.
Explain that.
Now, a DNA series means that when your DNA is located, and say they get a hair from your head and they subject it to certain tests, they say, well, this is the DNA of Minister Brown, and yours is different from everybody else in the world, all right? Then they found further that not only are their DNA series different, but the number of DNAs in there are different in different groups. Whites have a different number of DNA, and blacks have a different number of DNA series. Apes have a different number of DNA series. Then they found this amazing thing, that the greater the number of DNA series, the smarter the person, the group is. the greater the probability of genius within that group. So they tested the orangutans, these 15 geneticists from around the world. Now, these geneticists came from 9 different universities. And we have here on the cover of the pamphlet they put out the names of these geneticists. And you can see them right there, right beneath the title of this pamphlet. Now, this pamphlet, most people have no idea what it means. But breaking it down, and after you study it and have it explained to you by a geneticist, a trained geneticist, you will find that they're talking about DNA series. Now, here are the names of these 15 geneticists from around the world, University of Japan, University of China. Yale University is the headquarters of this organization called the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And you see it down there. Now, this was copyrighted in 1996. All right. What it said is this, and this is the mind-blowing part. It said that when they tested the orangutan, they found out he only had 3 DNA series. When they tested the gorilla, they found out the gorilla has 4 DNA series. He's a little smarter than the orangutan. They tested the chimpanzee, which is an ape, and found that he had 5 DNA series. Then they went all into the different races of the world. They went into Europe and tested the DNA series of the English, the French, the German, the Spanish, the Russians, and found they had 6 DNA series. Then they put all of this, what they found from around the world, on a map. And this map really is called the intelligence map of the world, because they tested 116 different human groups and found their DNA series numbers. All of them, all over the world, have 6. And they put the numbers in form of a little flag that you can see on this map. These little flags have a color. And they show, this is upside down. I'm sorry. Yeah. And they show that the English have only 6, and all into Europe, only 6. Went over into Japan and China, and they only have 6. Over into America, with a predominantly European, and they only have 6. Then they came to Africa, and they came to the part of Africa. Now, all the rest of them, they put in little flag colors. Those flag colors are orange-red, if you notice. But when they came to Africa, found out that the African people have 9 DNA series from here just below the Songhai Empire down to the foot of Africa. All those 10 nations, of which African Americans descended from one of them, we have 9 DNA series, the greatest possibility of genius in our group. Now it's answered this age-old question. How can a people survive being told they're nothing for 400 years, never allowed to learn that they came from beautiful cities and told they came from a jungle? How could a people survive? How can a people become champions in everything they touch? Because they have 9 DNA series, while the rest of the world has only six. This is why they copyrighted this. And you notice on the outside of this, now this map is taken, I took this map right from this page here. And I blew it up so that the world could see it. Even though this is copyrighted, I can't let you have this book because it's copyrighted. The title of the book is called Global Patterns of Linkage, Disequilibrium at the CD4 Locus, and Modern Human Origins. Global Patterns of Linkage, Disequilibrium at the CD4 Locus, and Modern Human Origins. Now, you have to be a geneticist to even know what they're talking about. But when we broke it down and interviewed Dr. Kidd, the head, he's the chairman at Yale University. He broke it down into plain everyday English so that the world would know that the African American is descended from those people who gave to the world the Great Pyramid, gave to the world science, gave to the world mathematics. A black man named Ahmose gave algebra to the world 3,700 years ago. It's in the world books, it's in the encyclopedias. They don't want our children to know this, because then that would make the playing field level for white children. And you know what happens when they made the playing field level in basketball and allowed black men to play. Out of 29 of the top seeded players in the world today, 28 are African American. When they opened up the Penn relays, when they opened up the Olympics and allowed blacks to run back in 1932, won all the gold medals. And the same thing will happen in the classroom when they allow our children to learn their African history. That's what this is saying.
Dr. Robinson, are you saying that the African American also has 9 strands of DNA?
I am saying that we are descended from the West Africans who have 9 DNA series. On this map, that these geneticists, you see the green, down here?
Yes.
Well, that's where we're from. That's where African Americans are from.
Did they test African Americans?
They couldn't. They tested Americans as a group, whites. And they have 6. They didn't test African Americans because they know that we are the same people in from West Africa.
Oh, so they didn't have to.
Didn't have to.
Okay, that's true.
That's true. Yeah.
How is it that you think that this evolved, that we evolved with 9 strands?
9.
Below the Sahara.
Well, it tells you in here. This book tells why. Preemie babies, leaving the mother's womb early, too early, never develop to the same height that a baby that runs a full term. Right?
Yes.
White folks and Italian, all mankind arose in Africa. All mankind arose in this part of Africa, right here. It's called the womb of Africa. That's the womb of Africa over here. Right there.
Between the Middle East and...
Kenya. Kenya.
Uganda.
Yeah, that area. All mankind arose there. Oh. The great granddaddies of white folks, great granddaddies of Chinese, great granddaddies of Japanese, our great granddaddies, all of us looked the same. All looked like apes. That was called Australopithecus. I don't know how technical you want me to get. Australopithecus was the granddaddy, great-great-granddaddy of all races. Now, they left the womb
800,000 years ago. Whites left the womb and went over, wandered up into Europe, and the Chinese wandered over into Asia. And they left the womb before they were fully developed. That's why they did not develop melanin like we did. Those of us who stayed developed full term. They never developed the melanin-stimulating hormone. This is why we're the only race on the planet that does not have head lice in our hair.
Head lice.
Head lice. They are little bugs.
Yes.
Cooties. Yeah.
Cooties, right.
Cooties. We're the only race on the planet because we developed full term. We lost our straight hair, that animal hair, over 150,000 years ago. You see, all other races have head lice because they never developed fully. Melanin is this magical chemical that is developed on the fifth layer of the epidermis of your skin. Now, we've been brainwashed to believe that the less melanin you have, the prettier you are, because that's the brainwash. Yes. That's like saying a naked person is prettier than a person with beautiful clothes on. If you get what I'm trying to say, the scenario, yeah. Melanin heals. When you cut yourself, the melanin rushes to the surface of your skin and forms a scab. What color is that scab? I don't care what color. Brown, dark brown. That's the melanin coming up to heal you. This is why we do not get skin cancer, because of the melanin prevents it. The only place where we can get skin cancer, we learned it in the Inquiry today, is on the palm of the hand and the fingers. And I don't can't believe we'd be putting our hand up to the sun to get skin cancer.
All right, guys, so that's it for this video. Give this video a thumbs up if you liked it and share. See you next time. Peace.
Okay, family, what do you think? I know I've mentioned this many times before, and I know there are some people who believe that, there is no evolutionary process, that Caucasians came up mysteriously and other groups came up mysteriously. I don't believe that. I believe there was a process. Although there is no African, there is no Neanderthal DNA in Africans. There is no Neanderthal DNA. I believe that DNA is a mechanism for survival for the Africans who left out of Africa and got cut off by that ice age in Europe, and who had to mutate. They are mutants. They had to mutate. Their bodies became short and stocky, hair all over them, nose thin to warm the cold air before it got into their lungs. They mutated. And because of that hard, cold environment, their mindset is very selfish, very greedy, mean-spirited, and so forth. And that part of that DNA is passed down to them why they are the way they are today. And because of how we evolved, there was plenty. That's why they have a problem with women. That's why Europeans have always had a problem with women. Because women also were competing, and they realized that what women were for. And it wasn't about, just sex for them. Not companionship, not somebody. No, they were competing. And so that's why women, when they drug them into the cave, they acquiesced to men. Because and they took that abuse. Because what? He gonna throw her ass out of the cave and she gonna have to fend for herself? It's cold out there. It's dark out there. There are animals out there. Whereas on the continent, there was plenty. That's why for men and women, there's a complementarity. It's an understanding. Because also, too, if the man treated her bad, she'd leave him, take the kids and go down. There's some other areas where there's food and water, plenty. Another group of people that would embrace them. So understand something, dear brothers and sisters. These people who run stuff today are liars, are thieves, are appropriators. I keep saying to you all the time, and I'll continue to say this, and I don't care who wants to dispute it, go to YouTube and watch Great Pyramid K 2019, because it will tell you who we are. It will tell you about the melanated Africans who built the pyramids and how they built them, who created mathematics. Dr. Robinson is correct. If all things are equal, I remember listening to, I believe it was Naeem Akbar. He was saying, if given the opportunity and a chance and being equal, we will dominate in any field. In any field, science, wherever, policies, whatever. And you could see that even out of our captivity. Even in our captivity, the creativity of African people. So it is there. I don't trust Europeans at all. So I would never leave it up to them to teach us. To me, it is our responsibility to reclaim, recapture, and retrieve and recover the history of us and present it to ourselves. Now, we could be like the European Jews and say to the various school systems where the European Jews live in their enclaves, in their neighborhoods, and they say to those school districts, I'm not going to be here. My children are not going to be here because this is Yom Kippur. This is Rosh Hashanah. This is Hanukkah, whatever. But when they send those kids to those public schools, they want them to teach their children math and science and languages and so forth. But when it comes to teaching their children about what it means to be a European Jew and how they evolved and how their theology evolved and so forth, that is their responsibility. That is their responsibility. Just as it should be our responsibility to teach our children the history of our people, to dispel all the myths and all the lies that have been perpetrated for all these many hundreds of years. It is like that on the planet as on the planet. It's like that on the continent as well. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Hit star twice to join this conversation. This being Africa and American African History Month, which is very important for what Carter G. Woodson understood, because Carter G. Woodson did not see the history and accomplishments of our people. And Carter G. Woodson went about the business of trying his best and sacrificing. I mean, here this man, in his search for knowledge and education and information and so forth, goes all the way to getting a doctorate degree from Harvard University, the second one to get a doctorate degree. And the only thing that he ever was a school teacher. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully, But obviously, with a doctorate degree from Harvard, he could have done so much more. 334-334, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey, my brother, how are you today?
Fine, and yourself?
I'm well.
I'm a little multitasking right now, so I'm intently listening. A couple of things. One, I sent you something either yesterday or day before, real quick. Hopefully you'll like that piece I sent you. It runs right along the lines of black nationalism, et cetera. So, and the other thing was, what was the name of that piece you just played?
With Dr. Robinson?
Yeah, what was that?
Well, that was a piece that somebody sent me. In fact, it was that Brother Marcus or Brother Paul? I think Brother Paul sent me that.
Okay, yeah. Could you forward that to me?
Of course I can.
There's some information I really like to look further into that I sure enough did not know.
Yeah. No. Brother
Mark, to me, I would really love to see that.
Okay.
In its entirety.
Yeah, brother Marcus sent me that, and it's abbreviated still, but I definitely will send it to you. It's Dr. Robinson. It's coming off of YouTube, and so I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try to send it to you email with that link, and hopefully that'll work. Okay.
Okay, sound like the winner.
I'll do it today. You bet, my brother. Peace to you. Have a great weekend, man.
Thank you so very much, and to you too as well, brother. It's always a pleasure.
It is
hearing this program. It really is.
I appreciate that.
But I'm listening. I'm kind of multitasking, but I'm still listening.
Right on. Peace to you.
All right.
Yeah, that's Brother Ted Lusk, Theodore Lusk. Man, I appreciate him so much. He came on board on this program, I believe, a few years ago, and he's been a constant listener, and he's been sending me good information all the time. And I can't wait for this situation, this virus to die down some, so I can go to Montgomery and break bread with him and go to the museum and to the memorial. Yeah, the initiative. Yeah, if you get a chance to, brothers and sisters, go to Montgomery and check it out. Check out the museum and the memorial. Okay? Yeah. I mean, and you know, the memorial's deep because when you go there, I don't know if you've seen it, you can probably pull it up online. The National Memorial for Peace and Justice, the Legacy Museum. And because we were hung, they have these rusty looking cubicles, excuse me, sorry, and they're hanging, and they talk about the states, the number of people, the years, and the name, possible the names of people who were hung. I wish, brothers and sisters, that we all understood this situation that we're in. And the people that put us in it, and how they are, and that they have not changed. And not only that, damn it, they don't even want to make restitution. They don't want to do reparation. Stop it, family. Stop it. These people are an enemy to us. These people want to get rid of us. Let me see if it's a caller, unknown caller. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Oh, man, I've been thinking about you, my brother. How have you been? I'm so glad you called. How you been?
But, sorry about that. Yes, I'm alive. And, I thriving, trying to do better. That's it.
Right on, Brother Paul.
Today we've been hit by storm Irina, I think they call it.
Oh, yeah.
They're saying the 100 mile an hour winds worst storm they've had in decades and so on and so forth. Every time I think about that, I always remember the Honorable Marcus Garvey saying that he'll come back in the wing to deal with our
That's
enemies.
Right. He come back as in the whirlwind. That's right. Wow.
So I tend not to watch too much. I just sit through it in nature.
I'm sorry, Paul, brother Paul, you broke up on me.
Yeah, so sorry. Yeah, I'm saying it's nature. You just let it do what it do.
Yeah, it's going to do that. But unfortunately, we as human beings have affected nature, and caused it to act erratically, caused it to go through some extremes. I mean, here in the States, they're constantly having a band of snow. And bad weather with winds. I mean, seems like not just in this winter time, so to speak, but all the time coming out of the south from Texas, going all the way moving northeast, going all. And, you know, fortunately, Atlanta hasn't been affected. And one reason why Atlanta has not been affected is because of the mountains that are at the Tennessee-Georgia border, you know. And so we don't get the tornadoes and we don't get the hurricanes and so forth. I understand if those mountains were not there, we would, you know, because of that cold air coming from the north, moving down to the northeast and then colliding with the warm tropic air coming up out of the Caribbean, coming up out of the Gulf and so forth, Florida. And that would be the clash and there would be the storms, but we don't get that. So that's fortunately. And I'm sorry that you guys, well, you know, in the UK are suffering, you know, but that's that, just like you said, the weather and the weather has been man-made, so to speak, to some degree. It's not natural.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting subject, Baba Ochi. Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting subject, and it really, as I'm listening to your words, it kind of stirs something in me. And it's just a thing which I suppose I feel I feel innate to say this. But let put it this way: I hear a lot about climate change, and as you was talking, I was thinking to myself, cause and effect. You say that we are causing this weather. So, okay. But then I do wonder, because I mean, aren't we on something called the planet Earth, which is a massive, gigantic rock? And aren't we traveling through space at an incredible time? Doesn't it take 36,000 years to make its cycle? We never see that in our lifetime. We won't even see a grain of that. It's 36,000 years to make a cycle. And the bottom line is we're traveling and we don't know where we travel through. We don't know how we're traveling. You imagine you're going on a journey even around the earth. You imagine you're traveling on a journey around the earth in a car. You're going to be affected by different climates. If you're traveling around the desert, it's going to be different. And if you're traveling around the North Pole, you're going to be affected differently. So we're traveling. So in my opinion, to be honest with you, I'm not so sure about these
I'm sorry, Brother Paul. Brother Paul, you broke up on me. Repeat what you just said. You broke up on me, please.
Yeah, I'm going to get a better position. Hopefully you can hear me better.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that better?
Much better. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. What I was saying is this. You know, I heard what you say, but as I was thinking when you were talking, it's cause and effect, and no doubt we affect the climate. But in my humble opinion, I don't think man is great enough to affect the grand scheme of things like he has the arrogance to believe he does. Because, you know, we're on a 36,000-year journey. It takes 36,000 years to travel in a cycle, they say. And we will never see that in our lifetime, not even in 10, 20 lifetimes. We won't see that. And you imagine that you're on you yourself is on a journey around this planet, right, by land and sea. every 100 mile, you're going to hit a different environment. If you're traveling in the desert, it's going to be certainly different than if you're traveling in the North Pole. You're going to be affected differently. So if we're on a 36,000-year journey, which we really don't know about, we don't know how the Earth is affected on this journey. We have no idea. We can just guess, and they call that hypothesis. We can use mathematics to guess how it may work out, but if our calculations are wrong, we've got it wrong. We just don't know. We just guess. Hypothesis. We just guess. So in my humble opinion, in the grand scheme of things, this is a natural occurrence. A man's effect on the Earth is minimal. Man is not grand enough to have that type of effect. Even if man released 1,000 nuclear weapons on this planet, the planet will survive, but man won't.
That's the fact. I agree with that.
Regurgitate yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That is the power of the grand scheme of things. So man is full of arrogance. Man is full of, and to a certain extent, and when you bring up this subject, I think of this, yeah? You know, I've always said this, and I've never heard anyone else say this, but I say it. This is the conclusion I've come to. The only real job we have on this planet, the only job, is as caretaker.
We're
born here.
Yes.
We have no other job. There is no other job on this planet but to take care of it. And we have followed this devil and his nonsense. And what can you see him doing? Everything he does is to destroy the planet. Everything. Everything in his wisdom ends up in destruction. And we're there following him like he has any idea about how to manage this planet. He doesn't. And the mere fact that we've allowed him to do that, we're in trouble too.
Yes, right.
We're in big, big trouble.
That's right.
I don't even think we fully realize the trouble we're in. We don't realize, you know. And, you know, the only thing we have to do is take care of the planet. And if it means annihilating the virus on the planet, that's what we must do. But we haven't recognized that. Instead, we become part of the virus. Mm-hmm. We have become part of that virus. So therefore, we are affecting each other.
Right, right.
So, you know, in my humble opinion, right, the indigenous people of that place you call the USA says this white man speaks with forked tongues. And I absolutely accept that. I don't believe anything he tells
That's
me.
That's right.
No. All those years in education.
Yes.
All those years of going to school in his schooling, falling system and being indoctrinated. Some people call it educated. We were absolutely indoctrinated with his nonsense. Yeah.
Yep.
Is giving us this virus. That's why we can't think outside the box anymore. We don't even create nothing anymore.
Right.
Just following him, get a job from him, beg him, suck off this white man's lollipop for the rest of our life. That's all we seem to be doing. And it's frightening. You know, after this pandemic, you know, see, this pandemic has shown me something, yeah? People I thought knew something, I realized they know nothing. And I'm talking people who look like me. I thought they were conscious and I thought they knew. And I realized now they didn't know a damn thing. Mm-hmm. Because they've been following this devil. And that's the bottom line, you know, and that's how I see it. So, you know, the video you played, I accept some of that. I accept some of that.
Well, you know, Brother Paul, what I've tried to do is best I can. Like I say all the time, I don't give you my opinion. What I try to give you is the knowledge and information of our scholars and our researchers and what they had to say. That's what I try my best to do. And you take it from there, because my opinion on how these Europeans, what they have done, is deeply profane. I'd be cussing my ass off on a daily basis in my disdain for them and what they have done. I trust them not one bit. I hate what they have done, particularly what they have done to us and how they've done it to the point where it's hard for us to tell our people what they have done, because they've been bamboozled. You know, they believe the religion that's tied to Europeans. They believe the government that's tied to Europeans. They believe the money that's tied, everything about them. And they hate themselves. We've been trained to hate ourselves and each other. I don't know about in the UK, but in America, nobody kills themselves like we do. No other group of people shoot and rob and kill themselves like we do. The understanding, of course, is that we live amongst ourselves and those are the people you're more likely to kill. But believe me, if we can go outside of that, because, I mean, at one time, they were killing us. They were killing us on a constant basis in any way imaginable. But now they don't have to do that because we kill ourselves. But we've been trained to kill ourselves. So, no, I hate what they have done. And that's why I implore us to step outside of these boundaries that they put us in, to release that vice grip that they have on our minds, so we can begin to work with one another, trust one another, believe in one another, and build a future for our families and for our people. And the only place that we can do that, we can't do it in the midst of an open and sworn enemy, like the Republic of New Africa. Talked about the five states in the South, with the exception of Florida. I don't know why not Florida. But, you know, North, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. And not even Louisiana. But those five states are supposed to be the five states that they want. But no. This is an open, sworn enemy. You can't do it amongst, even when you were successful in having towns and communities where you controlled and you control all the things that were happening in those communities. And the envy and jealousy and mean-spiritedness, the ugliness of Europeans who surrounded them, vamped on those communities and destroyed them. Now today, there's not one damn place in this country, in the United States, that we could say that is totally self-contained by us. Not one place. Even here in this so-called Atlanta, Georgia, which is supposed to be like a Mecca. It's no damn Mecca. It's just a bunch of Negroes here who make some money, got some money, and some of them live in little cul-de-sacs and subdivisions and enclave, and they got money, but they don't run nothing. We don't even have a damn supermarket here.
You know, you've said that so many times, Baba Ochi, and it's absolutely shocking that that's the statistic. You know, that it's shocking. But you know, for me, how that adds up. You're right. We've been programmed. We have been programmed, and there is a global strategy of programming, which is in effect that.
Hello. Hey, Paul, can you hear me? Paul, can you hear me? You were talking about a global communications. Can you hear me, Paul?
Yeah.
Well, you know, brothers and
sisters.
Yes, go ahead. I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, but wow. You can still hear me, yeah?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I missed all of that, Paul. I couldn't hear you. I missed all of that. That's one of the issues, you know, over the internet. And, you know, you have Brother Paul calling from the UK, you know, calling from the UK in, you know, in real time. And unfortunately, sometimes the communication, you know, you and I both know who's listening to this program, that we have had Paul on, and Paul is, you know, we can hear him clear, we can hear him straight ahead, and then sometimes he has these particular problems, you know. Paul, can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, go. I've only got a couple minutes, so go ahead, Brother Paul. I only got a couple minutes. Well, it looks like Brother Paul, we're going to have to try it again, okay? We're going to have to try it again, my brother. I appreciate you. I really do, Brother Paul. Appreciate you very much. The information that you send, just like Brother Lusk and all the others, love you guys for what you do and what you contribute to this program. you know, and the fact that you're just listening. You know, Monday is the 57th year of the assassination of El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, Brother Omar Wali, Brother Malcolm X. My guest will be Brother Muhammad Abdullah, and we'll talk about the assassination of Malcolm X. And then on Wednesday next week is the birth date of Dr. Amos Wilson. We will have a tribute to Dr. Amos Wilson. And I hope that a lot of people call and talk about how you feel about Dr. Amos Wilson. And so we'll do that next week. So, brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they shown hell damn it don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great weekend. Be safe. I'll see you. Hope to see you on Monday. Peace, family.